Today we got a special guest, my man David Reddy Jefferson.
What's up, man?
Yes, sir. You want to go ahead and tell them about yourself?
Yeah, well, my real nickname is not Reddy. It's exclusive. Facebook got mad and made me change my name, so I had to pick something real quick.
I feel you.
I'm from Northeast Portland. Born in California, born in Los Angeles, raised in Northeast. Been here for, most of my life. Big fan of the city. Brand building, clothing brands. I got a radio show. I got a little TV company. So I do a few things in the entrepreneurial, spectrum that keep me moving.
Okay. Yes, sir. So when did you decide like that was like your path? You know what I'm saying, to be your own boss?
Man, to be honest with you, it really wasn't even a conscious decision. It was just it was more of an energy thing. As humans, we feel certain energies and we feel certain messages come to our minds and come to our bodies, either from the universe or either from, whatever spirituality you believe in, It's an energy thing. And so when I was working these jobs, I wasn't comfortable, and I couldn't explain why I wasn't comfortable, And on top of that, the jobs that I did work at, I was really good at, and they ended up giving me more responsibility with the same amount of pay. And it was like there was only so far I could go. And just my mind and my body and my soul was just itching to do something on my own, telling me that I could use my skills and my talents on something more meaningful, something more passionate. So I had to kind of dive into the things that I cared about and figured out what it was that I loved the most about life and see how I could, manifest that into my own business or my own entrepreneurial dive. You know what I mean?
I feel that. So, what was your first business?
My first thing was clothes, fashion. You know what I mean? I've always been a big fan of clothes. I've always loved dressing, always loved matching, always loved shoes. Been a big fan of shoes since I can remember. I don't even know if it was a love that I chose. I just developed it over time, And so when I first decided I was gonna start being an entrepreneur, I figured that it'd be wise to go into something that I loved and cared about. And so that's when I decided to figure out ways that I could bring unique or rare fashion or exclusive fashion from other parts of the country out to Portland and start selling them. And so that's how I started.
Okay.
Started ordering clothes and finding ways to get different things we didn't have here in the town because I had the eye for it, And I figured if we didn't have it, I figured I could sell it. And so overall, that's kind of why my name is exclusive, because I kind of made my name by selling things you really couldn't get nowhere. So anyways, what I was saying was that, I kind of made my name by, exclusive by having things and products and that other people didn't have access to. And I figured that would be easy for me because I wouldn't have a lot of competition. My thing was always trying to figure out what can I bring out, what can I create where there's not a lot of competition, so I can just kind of make my own lane and take my own speed. You know what I mean? So, and that's how I kind of started buying wholesale and retail clothes and things like that. And then I just started selling them, man. And then I got into shoes and stuff and buying and selling shoes. And then everything after that was just kind of a wrap. Then I just started creating all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you don't really, once you create something and it works, you know what I mean? It trips you out. And I know one of my biggest things was what else can I create?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I just kept doing that. So I've created several different things since then. That was just the beginning, and most people don't even know about that start, because all they know is about the clothing line that I built in 2010 and the food cart I had and the book that I'm writing and my radio show and then the fashion shows I throw. So they don't really know about, most people don't really remember that, I was buying and selling clothes. out the trunk when I first started.
How'd you figure out like how to get the wholesale plug?
How did I figure that out, man? I just, you know, I think my biggest success was being resourceful. Like, I had ways to kind of start looking around the country, and I started using the computer to my advantage as well.
Yeah.
You know, back when they first start being popular, but a lot of people in our community wasn't technologically savvy at the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, it took us a while, and I really feel like we wouldn't even be using it as much if it wasn't for Facebook. And then they start forcing us in the, you know, MySpace and Facebook is when people start really taking advantage of the computer. And that's only because they wanted to have some fun with it. Most people didn't look at it from a business aspect or network and a resource aspect. And that's how I looked at it from day one. I didn't know nothing about MySpace and Facebook, and I wasn't using it for that. You know, but I used it to connect to people in different parts of the country and even outside of the country. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how I start meeting a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, out in New York and California, you know, the Midwest, you know, I started getting stuff from all in China, like all around the world, really, and that's what kept me afloat.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. So, you know, me trying to get into this entrepreneur thing, I know everything starts from an idea, you feel me? So, like, take us through the steps of, like, having the idea, putting in the work, and then, like, you know, making it happen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I'll start with probably my most popular venture that most people know me about, which is my brand, clothing brand, Stacking Kicks.
Oh, that's you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I started that in 2010. You heard of it?
Yeah, I heard of it.
Yeah. See, that's how people know me the most, because that's kind of what it kind of catapulted me into doing. Everything kind of started with Stacking Kicks, because when I started that, there really was no local urban clothing brands in the city of Portland at that time. Besides, Marquise Ramon had done his thing about 9 to 10 years prior.
Yeah,
but,
over that.
But since then, nobody has really made it a point to, you know, become a move maker in the fashion industry in Portland.
Yeah.
You know, now everybody's doing it. Back then, I didn't have a lot of resources, and so it was super, super hard back then because I had nobody I could call on. Nobody that I could reach out to help me formulate. So I made so many mistakes, lost so much money, you know, lost a lot of time trying to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And that's precisely why probably I'm one of the most known for it, because I'm very aware of how to build a clothing brand from scratch, and until you get to a point to where you get it in stores and you got high profile people and famous people wearing it, you know, and stores are giving you contracts for your brands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, but as far as the first step, you know, it was just an idea, you know. It wasn't Stacking Kicks wasn't the first brand I tried to create, but it's the one that made the most sense based off what I cared about and what I loved, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when I came up with that, you know, it's just a matter of me just, you know, the first brand, it was kind of a flop, only because, like, I don't think that people could relate to it. It was kind of too personal for me.
Okay.
You know, and as a brand, we make mistakes of doing things that we like, and now we forget about what everybody else like as well.
Yeah.
So I have to like it too, but other people have to also relate to it and be able to identify with it.
Yeah.
And with Stacking Kicks, it was just kind of an idea that popped up in my head one time. I was just sitting on the couch thinking back in 2010, and you know, this idea popped in my head randomly, and I don't know, I just, what's up with you? And I thought that I was just gonna make a t-shirt with it, just a random t-shirt or something, because I was like, oh, I know people like the sneaker industry, you know what I mean? So I thought that'd be cool, and so it was just gonna be one shirt. And lo and behold, I called up one of my guys I went to high school with. He was a graphic designer, and I told him about this idea. He was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I told him about this idea, man, and he was like, well, let's see what we can do, you know what I mean? And we just started playing with ideas and stuff, and we came up with a design. And eventually, it took a while, but we came up with something, and all of a sudden, somehow we came up with a logo, and I don't know where that came from, but eventually that started being the whole brand as opposed to just the design.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be a brand. I thought it was just a design that was tight, but it ended up being a brand that had a bunch of designs under it.
Okay.
You know, and to me, that's just kind of, I think that's just the unexpected jewels you get from kind of just following your passion and kind of following the energy in the universe. It'll take you to places that you didn't intend on going.
Yeah.
And it'll put things in front of you that you didn't expect to see. And instead of making it difficult by questioning it, you just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, that's what it is, and then that's what it is. You know?
Yeah.
And then you take that, and then you push it.
Yeah.
You know, cool thing with that, it was a great idea because, you know, number one, everybody has sneakers, shoes, even shoes just in general. Number two, you know, we in the home of Nike where it all started.
Yeah.
Number three, we got Adidas headquarters here, you know. And number four, nobody had really built a specific brand that was kind of dedicated to the love of kicks and sneakers. And another thing was that I was able to kill two birds with one stone because I always loved clothes, but I always loved shoes. And so if I built a clothing brand based off the love of shoes, then I'm killing two birds.
Yeah.
And so all these things worked in my favor. And I think those are the things that allow people to catch on to it. And on top of that, wasn't a lot of people, this is one of the first time they've seen like a dude from the streets come up with a clothing brand and push it that hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So everybody was wearing Stacking Kicks.
Yeah, I remember that.
So and it just blew me by surprise. I didn't expect that type of response. So it just blew me out the water.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I had become popular, that much more popular in my city. And in doing so, I made a lot more connections, opened up a lot more doors, and started building more brands after that. You know, and getting it on a t-shirt was a struggle. I didn't know how to make a t-shirt. I didn't know where to print them. I didn't know how the quality was supposed to be. I didn't know there was different printing methods.
Like, yeah.
I didn't know about the labels, you know, there's so many aspects to it. And you gotta learn all these things along the way. So it took me a while to actually become a master in building the clothing brand, because these things took a while to build, man.
Yeah.
And I just had to, go through the process, and that's what made me wise. Thank you. And that's why a lot of people come to me when they want advice about building their brands, or what should they do first, or can I help them build it, or, you know, can I endorse it for them and stuff like that. And I can't do all that stuff, but I'm always down to help people build. And I think since then, I've helped a good probably 15, 20 people build brands after that, or at least try and start. Most of them did continue because they see how hard it is.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of the ideas wasn't the best, but their mind was made and set up on it. And so if they wanted advice, I gave it to them. If they just asked me to do something, then I just did what they asked me to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But, you know, for the most part, it's been a cool ride, man.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely.
That's what's up.
So you mentioned like you started one business and then others and then others. So was it like you got a positive response and you just kept going?
Yeah. Here's the thing, man. Like the thing with me, I'm actually a weird entrepreneur because most people just do one thing and they stick there. Like I'm multi-talented, I guess. And so I'm able to do a lot of things because I got a lot of different passions.
Yeah.
And so my simple recipe was always to make sure if I was doing something, typically it was something that wasn't being done currently.
Yeah.
And that I was passionate about it and that I was one of the best at it.
Okay.
And if those three prerequisites existed, then it was something I can build upon. You know, and so, and eventually it started being more about me and much less about the brands, because people are a big fan of me personally just because of my energy, my inspiration, my push, my concern about the public, a lot of the community things that I've done. You know, I've spoke at a lot of schools, spoke at a lot of events. I put on a lot of events.
Yeah.
I've connected with some great people. I'm on a radio show preaching positivity with my show Calculator Conversation. You know, people can see that I care and that I'm concerned. I'm not really here just to make money. I'm kind of here to more or less make a difference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and just kind of show people that different things can be done. You know, so I did the food cart. You know, I did the Peaches Ready Spaghetti food cart. the only other person who really had a food cart before me was these guys, and that's why I work with them so tight, because they, you know, they was always doing their thing, man, and they was always doing their thing, and I always showed them some love, you know what I mean, and then once I, but you know, once I did the spaghetti food cart, I think me, I'm just kind of a little bit more, I'm like, as far as food, as far as being visible goes, like the clothing brand made me super visible, so people was kind of following everything I did, and I try to make everything look fun.
Yeah.
And so I think once I did the food cart, I think that inspired a lot of entrepreneurs to start realizing how fun it can be to sell food, because I was majorly playing with it on Facebook, pushing it on Facebook, just having fun with it, and all of a sudden, like, all these food carts started popping up in the last like four years in Portland.
Yeah.
You know, which is a good thing, you know, and that's the beauty of, you know, people appreciating you and being inspired by some of the things you do, you know, and so I'm inspired by people too, you know, like Stupid Burger, you know, and Cool Nuts inspired me like tremendously, with his pioneership and his push, you know. I'm inspired by my guy Black Mannequin. I started before him, but you know, he still inspires me, you know, to this day as well with how he does his thing. And so, you know, but ultimately it ends up being about you. You know what I'm saying? Like, people, they like to support people that like to support people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's really what it comes down to. So I try to make sure that I support people and that I help push events and get behind artists. You know what I mean? Like, when I started my brand, like, my goal was to get behind certain artists that was already moving forward and staying positive. And so I worked with, you know, I worked with Cool Nuts on some shows. I did a brand, you know, I collaborated with Mighty, I collaborated with the old school brand, Rose Bent, the new Zoo Boys when they were doing their thing, dancing back in the day, you know what I mean? And I just made sure that I connected with people. And then it got to the point to where a lot of people was just like, hey, you know what, man? I just think you're a great person. So just understand that whatever you build, I'm just going to support it off top. It don't matter what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's the process of being a brand yourself and not realizing that. So I tend to believe that if a lot of us understood that our energy, ourselves, is a brand, and you can't really separate your business from yourself, I think we would manage our energy a lot better, and we would make a lot more connections, you know, because a lot of people lose support out here because of their attitude, and I don't think they realize that your attitude is you, and you is your brand, and your brand is everything that you do for a living and how you connect to society, and so you can't separate any of those, and when people think they can, but you can't, you know, and that's just how you lose a lot of support, and then people just stop supporting you overall. And so it's been an easy transition for me because I've kept my energy consistent throughout the years. I haven't attacked any businesses. If I don't like something, I don't put it all on social media. I don't put down other companies. I don't put down other clothing brands. I just support them, you know. And when I build a fashion show, Walk This Way 1, 2, 3, and 4 so far, it was designed to highlight all the other brands in the city, not just mine. And so those are the things that keep you moving forward, just collaborating and networking with the right people and just being good people in general, you know. So
that's what's up. So is it scary to be an entrepreneur?
Very scary. Had some close calls, man. It's risky. You got to put it all on the line. You know, how much time we got, man?
Oh, we got, as much as you need.
Okay.
I mean, we can chill if you want to.
No, it's because I got a little story for you, though.
We got
time. It's super important, though. And this is before everything, man. It takes a little time to tell it, so I don't tell everybody, but so this is about entrepreneur, you know, the enjoyment of it, the risk of it, the fear. I think this story should be told.
Okay.
And so this is one of the reasons why I became spiritual, you know. And so before I start, so maybe about, let me think.
Go ahead.
So I got a super, super, super dope story, man. I mean, and this is what every aspiring entrepreneur should, something they should hear, something they should think about, something they should understand, is that when I was working a job, like this is what's gonna make or break who's really gonna do this and who's not. You know what I mean? Like, and so here's the thing. So I was working my job before I start doing the clothes, like I was telling you, when I first started buying and selling clothes and stuff out the trunk. I was still working at the time.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna tell you how I started doing that first. You know. So I was working, saved up a little bit of money, not a lot. I mean, I had $1,000 to my name.
No. Uh-huh.
You know, I've been working for a couple of years, taking care of myself, just kind of living, you know, just day to day. But I was surviving. I had a little apartment, you know, I had a little Honda, and I was going to work 8 hours a day, you know, making like, I don't know, maybe like 12, maybe like 11 bucks an hour or something at the time, 11 or 12. You know, and, but like I said, the energy was just calling me. Like, it was something like, I knew I needed to do something. I knew I had more in store for me, you know, yeah. And I couldn't really explain it. I just knew that I wasn't in the right place when I was at work, you know what I mean? And it just, I didn't feel like I was supposed to be working. And so, and on top of that, like I told you, like I got really good at all the jobs I did, because really they was just all communication jobs, customer service, and I'm good with talking with people. So, like, I was getting real good at the jobs, and they started making me train people, and they started doing, have me do more stuff and being a team specialist, but they don't pay you no more. And they still a little mean, you know what I mean? You got a boss. And so I started researching, you know, I was like, man, I'm gonna have to sell something. You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm gonna have to sell something, you know, and it's like, I start researching, looking around, and figuring something out, and I finally saw something that I thought I liked, I thought would work. I was trying to buy some shirts. I was trying to buy some wholesale button-up shirts. Now that I look at it, it was kind of corny, but the thing is, I thought I could sell them because I'd never seen them before, and I was trying to keep get business by having something you can't get nowhere else, keeping it exclusive, right? And so, man, it's like I remember being on break at my lunch at my job, going on the computer in the lunchroom. I had got my money, I was ready, I had my card ready, and I went to order the shirts. They were $1,000. I had $1,000, and they were $1,000.
Yeah.
And so I went to order them, and I had my card ready, and you know, I went to hit the button to hit order, and I got scared. Yeah, I froze up, you know, and I was like, this is my last $1,000. Like, I can't afford to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I walked away, man. I was like, you know, and this is what we deal with, is trying to understand this risk. You know what I mean? You know, if this is what we want to do, we're willing to risk everything we got on another vision, on another dream, on another route, you know? And so I got up and walked away, man. I had the same fear that everybody had before they first start investing in themselves.
Yeah.
And typically everything that they got for a dream. I walked away. I was, and this is what changed my life. I stopped in my tracks, man, and something hit me, you know, and I want to say it was God, I want to say it was the energy, it was the universe, the law of attraction, whatever I call it, whatever we call it, whatever speaks to us.
Yeah.
Something, a thought popped in my head, and I know I didn't say it. It was from up above. It popped in my head, and it said, if you don't do it now, when will you do it? That popped in my head, and I knew I had no choice.
Yeah.
I went back to the computer, opened it up, logged in, hit the button, and it was on the way.
That was cool, yeah.
That was it. And I say that to say this, man. I'm not going to say that that was the best order. I'm not going to say I made a lot of money off of it. I'm not going to say I haven't got my money all the way back. But I will say my life was forever changed after that.
Okay.
Now, that didn't work the way I wanted, the way I wanted it, but it was energy.
Yeah.
People started knowing that I was selling stuff. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't like that, it was, well, can you get this? Can you get that? You know what I mean? And this is how
this is how the energy is built. This is when people know you're serious, when you have things that you're willing to offer.
Yeah.
And if you don't have what they like, well, let's talk about what you do like.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that then.
Okay.
You know, and this is essentially where my ascension into this lifestyle came from. This is when I lost all fear.
Yeah.
See, the thing that separates people with good ideas and real entrepreneurs is fear. How much fear do you have of losing? And so I forgot about the fear of losing.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about what I could possibly gain.
Yeah.
And that this is the difference. You know what I'm saying? And so after that, I did that. I started trying different clothes, trying different shoes, and I started making a boatload of money, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it was good.
Man, I started making some crazy money, bro. You know what I mean? And It took a minute, but,
yeah.
You know, I start ordering stuff from everywhere. I start taking chances. I start being risky. I start being scared to try new stuff.
Yeah,
that's what separated me. Most people are scared to try new stuff.
Yeah.
They worried about what they might lose. Mm-hmm. You know, and I learned the philosophy a long time ago when I first started doing this. And if you're scared to lose, then you're pretty much scared to win. There's no way you can win being scared to lose.
Yeah.
You have to know that loss is an option.
Uh-huh.
And so is winning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And after you lose so many times, you strategize.
Yeah.
You recreate. You make adjustments. You build new formulas.
Mm-hmm.
And you push forward.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the secret.
Yeah.
People don't know that because they're too scared to lose. So they aren't giving themselves times to create formulas. They're not giving themselves times to build new avenues.
Yeah.
They're not making changes. They're quitting. Or they're never starting. But
yeah.
They're not starting and making changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I learned. The losses are very important. Losses losses end up being extremely good information. When I made my first batch of stacking kick shirts, I was so disappointed. No. My first two batches, I was disappointed.
Yeah.
None of them came out the way that I wanted them to look.
Mm.
And I was so excited to see my first creations.
Yeah.
I was so happy. Like, this is me. I made this. And everybody goes through that. And when you see it for the first time, it's not what you expected.
Yeah.
So you got to decide, do I quit or do I make an adjustment?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Most people quit. Winners make an adjustment.
Yeah.
My second match still came out messed up.
Mm.
Lost more money.
Yeah.
Do I quit or do I make an adjustment? I decided to make an adjustment.
Yeah.
The next batch came out exactly how I needed to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Then I start growing.
Okay.
Then I start becoming wise. Then I start becoming aware of every aspect of this business.
Yeah.
So
what do you do with that batch that don't come out right? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm thinking about, you know, you know what I'm saying, doing the merch thing. But, like, what do you do when that batch don't come out right?
When that batch don't come out right, you give it away to people.
Okay.
You sell it for cheap, $5 a shirt, or give it away.
Mm-hmm.
But you still brand. You know,
okay.
And I know it's hard. Also remember, just because it came out not the way we wanted it doesn't mean people aren't going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got different tastes.
Yeah.
Our standards are different because it belongs to us.
Yeah.
Other people see it. Oh, man, that's a cool shirt. I'll rock that.
You're like, all right, cool.
Give me $5 there.
Yeah.
$5, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not making a lot of money, but people are still wearing your products.
Mm-hmm.
Give them away if you want to.
Yeah.
One thing I know that separates some of the biggest brands that came out of Portland, Stacking Kicks, Black Mannequin, who else? Yeah, that did their thing, my boy Sorrell. One of the things that we know that we have to do that's tough for most entrepreneurs is that we have to give away a lot of free product.
Mm.
People don't want to do that.
Yeah.
They want to come out with their first shirt that nobody know about, you're not popping yet, and you want to charge people 25 off top.
Yeah.
And they don't know you yet.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's not a good idea. It's going to make it difficult. You can't be tight. You got to have room to give.
Okay.
If you want to receive, you're going to have to give up front. All those brands give. We gave a lot.
Yeah.
You know, our time, our attention, our products, our energy, you know, our money. you know, going to schools, talking to kids, giving away free shirts.
Yeah.
Going to events, giving free shirts out to some of the artists, some of the promoters. Being able to know when somebody has a little bit of energy themselves that they can add to your brand, so it's okay to give them free product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's exchange of branding. It's exchange. It's love exchange.
Yeah.
You don't give them out to everybody because you got people that come up and say, "Hey, you should give me a free shirt."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Why? Give me one good reason."
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a good reason.
Yeah.
You know, if you give me a good reason, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
If your reason don't make sense, I'll promote your stuff. I'll do this. I'll let people see it. Wait a minute. I'm already hotter than you are.
Yeah.
You know, with all due respect, I worked a lot harder, so you can't just give it to somebody just so they say, "I want to promote your stuff." Give it to somebody who actually got a following or has some energy that they can promote it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you got to watch that stuff, too. You know, and so, but yeah, man, you know, you make a bad batch, give some stuff away. Throw some stuff out. You know, go through the first feelings of defeat, disappointment when you see it. But then it's like, what can I do from this point on? Well, I can at least give out some stuff, you know what I mean? And, you know, or sell some stuff with like slash prices, like $4 or $5 a shirt, $10 a shirt, when normally you want it $20, $25. But if you don't feel all the way comfortable, you know, I'll give it to somebody for cheap or for free if they need it that bad.
Okay.
You know, you got to donate shirts. I mean, there's so many different things you can do to get your brand popping. But, you know, it's a process, man. Either way you look at it, you got to teach yourself to fight through. You know, you got to teach yourself some longevity. You know, you got to be able to go through the pain, man. Because no entrepreneur is going to tell you that they didn't go through some pain, some disappointment, some defeat, and that there weren't times that they thought they should quit.
Okay.
They all said that.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to hold on to the vision that you see until other people see it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like Russell Simmons said, like, nobody's going to see it but you in the beginning, you know, and you have to believe in that. And so you better make sure you got some passion behind it, you got some real love behind it. That's the only way other people are going to be able to identify with that love.
Because
if you're doing it for money, chances are you're not going to make none.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.